Hello, Smart Firefighting community. Welcome to a mini content series hosted at the FRI show in July 2021 down in Charlotte, North Carolina. At FRI, we interviewed a range of technology leaders at the IAFC technology neighborhood. So please excuse some of the background noises throughout these episodes. I want to give a special shout out to Chief Jeff Doolin for making all this happen. Enjoy the content and please let us know what you think. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. This is the first of many episodes here at the FRI show, and I am fortunate to be sitting alongside Mike Varney, who is the Director of Stakeholder Collaboration at the FirstNet Authority. Mike, welcome. How are you doing today?
Great to see you. Great to see you in person.
Yeah, you as well. We are back in the flesh. It feels like nothing ever changed.
Yeah, it's kind of like Groundhog Day, sort of.
We were like, had the training wheels on, and now they're off, and it's like, just riding the bike again.
Yep. Hopefully we can continue to have these in-person events and have rich conversations with our friends that we haven't been able to see in person, only virtually over the last couple of years.
A lot has changed, and I'm sure we will touch on that. But I know you spend a lot of time of your day and your brain power talking and thinking about FirstNet. FirstNet's obviously a huge part of the smart firefighting community. But for those other technologists and even firefighters and fire chiefs and people in the fire community out there that don't know what FirstNet is, just give me a high-level overview of what is FirstNet.
Sure. FirstNet was created by Congress back in 2012 with the goal to create a nationwide public safety data network based on LTE for public safety use. So back in 2012, we were created and we were given some startup funds and some frequency allocation, the band 14 specifically, which enabled us to create this network. So over a period of time, we solicited significant feedback from public safety and the states. And then about 4 years ago, we entered into a contract to have AT&T build and operate this network on our behalf based on the direction that we provided them as part of this effort. So it's the largest public-private partnership so far to exist.
And when you say this public-private partnership that now exists, just to kind of give a little context, what is the difference between the public side and the private side, just to kind of better understand what that line in the sand is?
Sure, yeah, there absolutely is some confusion out there. So we say there's basically three FirstNets, right? There's the FirstNet Authority, which is where I work, which is the federal government, the .gov, and we provide the direction and the oversight to ensure that we do meet our mission, which is to operate this public safety network across the country based on public safety's needs. To do that, we've contracted with our partner, AT&T. If you see FirstNet by AT&T, they operate, build, maintain the network, provide the devices and services to operate this LTE network, which is FirstNet, which is different than AT&T. On our behalf. So there's that second FirstNet, and then of course the network is called FirstNet. So we're in a world of three FirstNets. They're all the same end goal, but one is the network, one is our oversight, and one is our partner that actually operates it on our behalf.
And I like how you phrase that, the same end goal. That's a lot of what we talk about in the smart firefighting community. There's so many different technologies and amazing entrepreneurs that want to help each other, all with the goal of helping make first responders better, faster, safer at their job. And I appreciate that there's that. This is a huge initiative that FirstNet's undertaken, and it's obviously taken this unique, creative dynamic between public, private, and this whole network servicing. So kudos to you and the entire team. And I'd love to kind of now learn a little bit more about kind of where we're at today. It is, July 30th, 2021. You mentioned that it kicked off kind of post 9/11 with this need for this LTE-focused network. What's kind of some of the newest updates of kind of where we're at with FirstNet today and what's kind of like top of mind with currently everything right now?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I'll break it into a couple of different sections and what I'll talk to. One is just our momentum and the amount of adoption we've had from public safety since we've entered into this agreement with AT&T. So literally 3 years ago, started this real effort where actually you could use FirstNet services and do this. But in the last 3 years, we've now have over 2.5 million subscribing units on the network. There's over 17,000 public safety entities organizations that are part of this network. We've got several hundred devices that are certified to work on it. We've got over 160 different applications that are in our application catalog, which has been have been through significant cybersecurity vetting and resiliency standards. So there's a tremendous amount of momentum just at those high-level numbers to just in the last 3 years. A couple new technologies specifically since we talked last that we've rolled out with our partner, which are significant differentiators for public safety. And again, I need to reiterate the fact that everything that we do is to increase those operational needs for public safety, specifically with them in mind and with their feedback that drives these. So a couple of the things that have happened very recently within the last year is now we have the ability to provide high power user equipment through AT&T's Mega Range program, where the band 14 that I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion is allocated to FirstNet. It's the only LTE band that can operate at what we call high power based on the different FCC rules. And that allows us to provide equipment that output at a higher power than your standard LTE cell phone, which of course gets you better throughput capacity on the fringe of the network or wherever you are. So we have that ability that just rolled out this year. We also, through our extensive deployable program, which allows any FirstNet subscriber to request a deployable asset, basically a cell site on wheels, to go to any emergency where they have coverage that has been impacted for some reason, whether that's a technical or weather issue, or if they're going to an area that had no coverage in the first place. We now have over 100 deployables in our fleet with different form factors that public safety can certainly ask for and request at no charge to help them fulfill their mission. And some of those form factors, other than what you would typically think of a large Freightliner truck with a tower on it, and all of these are self-contained, of course. We also have drone-capable assets. We have a dirigible or a blimp that we actually launched last year at one of the hurricanes to provide wide area coverage. And then we also have some new assets, which are compact rapid deployables, which are very small footprint devices that you can attach to a vehicle. They're not even the size of a full trailer, that you can bring anywhere, that you could bring a pickup truck basically to your scene and provide a bubble of cellular coverage to help you provide your mission. And you can request those as part of this deployable program, or you can purchase those on your own, in addition to some other units that provide some interior space for controlling those incidents and also provide a bubble of coverage of LTE on FirstNet's network, which of course provides you priority and preemption and access to the network for all data sources, not just voice, all the time when you operate your device. So any application that you're using or doing a voice call, you're going to get priority and preemption and access to that network, which is really one of the impetuses for having FirstNet. Is we've all been in places where your phone shows that you're connected and you have several bars, but you're at a sporting event, you're at a civic event, you're at a concert, a parade, but you just can't get through. And on FirstNet, it solves that problem. Public safety can always get through so they can communicate with whoever they need to, with whatever type of application they need to help solve that problem more efficiently, and they're not caught in that congestion that the general public is caught in.
Just to elaborate on that a little bit more, that priority and preemption, I know that's important because I think we've heard a lot about this whole throttling aspect, but is that kind of what we're preventing? Where by having this priority and preemption, we are not allowing the opportunity for first responders to not be able to communicate when they need to? Is that the main point of that?
Basically, yes, right? So on the FirstNet network, there is no throttling. In the core network, which is a physically separate core that exists that we created, there isn't even the ability to throttle. So you're going to get the throughput that you need when you need it. You're going to get prioritization to all those network resources. And that's not just the network resources of band 14, which is what we brought to the table, but it's all the other bandwidth that you have access to that AT&T has within their network. So we can leverage all of their spectrum as well as just the band 14 that we brought to the table. And that's one of the big advantages of that partnership that we have with AT&T.
That's amazing. And there's so many, you covered a lot from deployables, devices, apps, these compact deployables. it really seems like there's this enormous nexus of opportunity to build on and within the FirstNet Authority and the FirstNet network. What would you say to aspiring entrepreneurs or technologists that are thinking of taking something from another market and trying to apply it to the first responder market, or trying to create something new on this network? Like, what would be your challenge or your call to action to them?
What I would say would be to get engaged with the International Association of Fire Chiefs through the smart firefighting programs at Darley. Contact us, because there's many operational needs that the fire and emergency services has. In many cases, a lot of these technologies that we leverage in the emergency services have come from some other industry or vertical that may have nothing to do with emergency services, but it's a way to move data or collect data or assimilate it in such a way that we can get value out of that information in helping solve problems. Whether that's to provide location-based services and Z-access capabilities, if it's future intelligence information, AI, virtual reality, they're all things that are starting to get used today in public safety, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's just how we're using the tools. If you looked at the history of fire and emergency services, many of the things that are used every day came from either the military, NASCAR, some other type of business that we just leveraged and said, hey, we could leverage this if we just tweaked it. So I would say to any entrepreneur, there's a huge market here, there's a huge interest here that you just need to get engaged, and there's plenty of people to help you find your way through to get this to the end.
Plenty of funding, plenty of resources, and I think willing partners that want to collaborate. Obviously, there's competitors, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of the competitors in this industry are still trying to find ways to collaborate with the end goal of helping first responders. And I think FirstNet, you've done a great job of having this North Star of saying, we are going to ensure that first responders have the ability to communicate however they need, whenever they need.
Exactly. And our biggest thing, as we've talked before many times, is that everything that we do, we're a very stakeholder-driven organization. Even though we're a federal entity, anything that we do, our priorities, our direction, how we use all of our resources are based on public safety feedback, right? And that feedback helps us meet their operational challenges and needs every day. And they change, right? They continually change year to year what they are. So we're always listening. We're always seeking out that feedback to help us drive our direction, whether that's got to do with situational awareness, whether that's got to do with coverage, whether that's got to do with specific services that we provide in our core or devices and applications. So we're not just singly focused on one thing or another. We're looking at whatever would help solve those problems.
And if a first responder said, hey, FirstNet, I have this idea for how you should change something or how you should drive some of the reinvestment strategy, how does FirstNet go about getting feedback from first responders? And what would be your call to first responders that are interested in getting involved with that feedback process or adopting FirstNet?
Sure. So probably the simplest answer is just go to firstnet.gov, which is our website, and you can find out all of our field staff that are all over the country assigned specifically to interact and get feedback from public safety and industry. There's also the ability to take a survey to provide us some initial information, and we'll reach back out to you to get some more information. So there's several opportunities. That's probably the easiest answer, but we absolutely will get back to you and do a deeper dive if that's what you want to. But also on that site, there's case studies to look at on how other people are leveraging FirstNet. There's how we're evolving technology and the new things that are coming out all the time. So I think that's really today your one-stop shop to get started, and then you'll get more information from there.
Love it. Well, Mike, it sure is a pleasure to be back in the flesh with you. Thank you for all the context you just provided at FirstNet, and I look forward to staying in touch and seeing you again next week.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast today. If you enjoyed what you heard and got any value, please drop us a rating, leave us a comment, or reach out to us on social media. Have a great day, and together we can advance the future of smart firefighting.